is part of our meeting. The DM is also joining now. It's 10 o'clock today. Like yesterday, we're going to have a debate in the afternoon, the resumption of the debate. So I just felt we needed to start as early as possible so that we can finish a bit early and prepare ourselves for the debate for the SONA. Thank you very much. Let me take this opportunity to welcome all the honorable members present here, and also welcome the department. As of now, I see the DM together with the DG and the team from public enterprise. You are all welcomed. We have called this meeting to deal with the issues of DINER, as indicated in the program. And we hope the department, together with the people from DINER, are ready to give the report to the select committee. And then the select committee will engage with the report. Item two is the apologies. I'll request the secretary, acting secretary of the committee, to give us the apologies that are there from members as well as from the department. Acting secretary.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, members. Chair, the only apology that we received was from the minister, who's attending the Portfolio Committee on Public Enterprises meeting. Other than that, we didn't receive any other apologies from members.
I'm sure Honorable Arnold, I don't know it's whether Honorable Mkause is, because we have been having a standing apology from her until we are sure she's fine. Honorable Arnold? Yeah, we can't hear you. Your mic is not fine.
Can you hear me now, Chairperson?
We can hear you now. Yeah.
Yeah. I say good morning and greetings to all the members and then also to the officials. Member Makosi is still not going to attend the meetings due to ill health. So apology again, Chairperson.
Okay. Thank you very much. We, unless there is any other apology from members, I think there is none. Thank you very much. We are going to request the DM to lead the discussions. We are handing over to you, DM, to start the discussion. You will direct in terms of who is supposed to be speaking after you have given us the overview, and then you'll hand over back to us when you are done. Thank you very much. And
thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and greetings to the Honorable Committee members, the Director General, as well as the Acting Group Chief Executive, Talib. Chair, there has been made available to the Honorable Committee a presentation. I'm hoping that that presentation is available to be flighted, where I was going to ask, with your permission, Honorable Chair, that the Acting Group Chief Executive takes us through that. I am hoping that there would be among the attendees to the meeting representatives of the board. Talib may indicate that, who is here on the part of the board. On the side, Chair of the Department, may I say that over the recent past, the entity DINER has been experiencing very tough conditions relating to cash flows. The squeeze that is experienced by nearly all the state-owned companies, government departments, has had a bearing, a very heavy bearing on Denel. The Department of Defense, honorable members would have observed over a significant period of time, has had declining budgets, with a concomitant impact on Denel and the rest of the defense industry in the country. We have also experienced a situation where Denel, in terms of its contracted pipeline of projects to which they were looking into, were heavily concentrated in one region, in the Middle Eastern region, which is fraught with challenges, strife, that also has impacted in terms of geopolitics, the ability to continue serving that region with arms from our own country has really been negatively affected, given the choices that we have made as a country to who we can trade, as an example. So this has really had a cumulative effect, including the impact of COVID on demand, to a point that there has been experienced difficulties with the honoring of salaries to employees, a matter that has been to court several times. We are working with the entity to overcome these difficulties, but I must say that it's a highly challenged environment. Without much ado, Chair, I'm hoping that the presentation, the relevant person would have flighted it already. Sadiq could then, with your permission, talk to those matters in detail. That is the presentation. I'll rest it there. The DG and the team from Public Enterprises is here, where it's time for discussions. We'll be able to come in and shed further light where there is a need for that. Thank you very much, Chair. Can I hand over to Sadiq with your permission?
Okay.
Good morning, Chairman of the Committee, Honourable Members. My name is Talib Sadiq and I'm the Acting Group CEO at Denel. I am joined by members of management and we have our Group CFO, who's a member of the Executive Director on the board. I would also like to recognize our Deputy Minister and our Director General and various colleagues from the Department of Public Enterprises. Chair, has the minister pointed out, we have shared a presentation. If we can maybe see that on the screen, failing which, if I could be made a host and then we could share the screen.
Chief, I can say that Mr. Sadiq has already been made a co-host, so he has got permissions to share the screen. Hello?
Could I just confirm, Chair, that that this is...
We can see.
Thank you very much, Chair. So the topic for this morning's discussion is to talk about the financial and legal challenges regarding the court order to pay the outstanding salaries to employees. And what I would like to cover in the presentation quite briefly at the beginning, I would like to recap the strategic relevance of Denel, the capabilities that are at risk, looking at the financial setup, the current financial challenges of Denel, look at our state of business, look at the funding challenges and our financial position, then give you an update on the liquidity impact on salaries, and then to conclude my presentation, just to look at the risks that's affecting Danel's sustainability and the initiatives that the board is driving alongside with our shareholder ministry to create a sustainable Danel. So Danel's national interest is supported by the Defence Review of 2015, where we are regarded as a national security asset, and that's to support our SANDF in their mandate. The National Defence Industry Council, INDIC, did identify the liquidity challenges facing Danel as having an adverse impact on South Africa's national security. There was also the Aerospace and Defence Master Plan that was commissioned by the Office of the President, where they spoke about the technology that exists in the defence and aerospace industry. And without this technology, we will in fact become a technology taker and we will be vulnerable to sovereign pressure, and ultimately concluding that we will be less able to protect ourselves. And then on top of this slide, we've had the Department of Defense stating that with the challenges of Danel, that one cannot afford to lose the skills that vest at Danel because it is very important for the SANDF in their activities. The capabilities that Danel has is across six different areas. And we have five divisions within Danel that are involved in the provision of these capabilities. It's our artillery, security and border control, naval, aerospace, infantry, and also provision of training and other services. All of these capabilities, committee, were established with the strong support from our Department of Defense. And what we have been doing is over time is to try and commercialize these capabilities both locally and internationally. On a normalized basis, Danel will have about normally 4,000 employees. With all of the challenges and the high staff turnover and the restructuring which we are yet to do, our staff complement right now is under 3,000. But on a normalized basis, at the current norm, we would be at about 4,000. And we do state that we have a multiplier effect in the economy of about four times from a jobs creation point of view. And the South African defense industry in 2018 exported goods, this is in terms of the National Controls Armament Controls Committee, exported goods of over 4 billion rand to 66 countries. So in terms of the state of our business, so this to look at the bottom quadrant dealing with organization, Danel is a high-tech design and development business. We do have a high skills turnover currently due to our operating challenges. Poor program execution and low levels of productivity, it's a point that I will expand on later on as well, has been a major cause for where we are right now. Our divisions are in a dire financial position. We do have a weak balance sheet. And restructuring is required in the organization in order for us to be repositioned to reclaim our position as a trusted and reliable supplier of products and systems and be globally competitive. From a financial position point of view, Danel is structurally and operationally inefficient, and we are currently putting together reforms to address revenue generation, program management, to look at our cash management and cost reduction. The importance of meeting contractual performance, very key for us, our management of working capital. Our suppliers right now are demanding upfront payments from ourselves, and we do have a challenge in terms of raising bonds and guarantees from our banks, which is then causing us not to be able to conclude orders that we need to in order to keep our business going. from a stakeholder point of view, as pointed out by the Deputy Minister earlier on, the declining local defense budget is having a significant impact on DANEL. The need for an alignment with the strategic direction of DANEL. We are engaging with a number of state agencies around the past governance breakdowns, including state capture. We do have a weakened relationship with our customers, both locally and internationally. And the salary dispute, which you have asked us to speak about with Solidarity and UASA, they represent about 32% of our employees. They've instituted court action. And we've also had a Fitch rating downgrade due to the poor financial position of DANEL and also the limited sovereign commitments. From a strategic perspective, I did touch on this earlier on. We do play a key role, not only to our SANDF and Department of Defense, but also to the South African defense industry. Our economic spin-offs to the broader South African economy in terms of generating forex revenue with our export business, in terms of skills development and job multiplier. We are a key supplier to the security cluster. We have, with the challenges we are in right now, we are in the process of developing our DANEL Next strategy. And this talks about repositioning or expanding DANEL's offering to not only meet the defense requirements of South Africa, but there are a number of other new requirements that are emerging that needs high-class technology. When one looks at the technology trends that are happening, like virtual reality, renewable energy, that's going through a transformative, the energy sector is going through a transformative process, and so is the motor car industry sector, amongst others. So we would like to, we are saying, how do we reposition or expand DANEL's offering to meet these new requirements? So we've established 8 work streams, and we would be going through with our board and taking our shareholder along. We have introduced transitionary values to help us during the execution of DANEL Next and also during this tough economic climate we find ourselves in. Sustainable industrialization through strategic equity partnerships and public-private partnerships is an area of focus for us. So our severe funding challenges, DANEL does remain in a deep-rooted liquidity crisis. As we did state, DANEL, we were downgraded to Fitch, and this is because of the poor performance of our company and then the consequent delayed support from our shareholder. We are experiencing a reducing order backlog and our pipeline. Our local defense budget is shrinking, and the geopolitical landscape is transforming. The treaties we've spoken, our deputy minister did make the point about Middle Eastern market being quite important for DANEL, and the changes that are happening there at a geopolitical level is having an effect on us. Our balance sheet reflects a material short-term debt of 3.2 billion rand, and all of it is less than 12 months. So our debt profile has worsened. National Treasury, with the support of our shareholder, did waive the conditions relating to the balance of the recap of 271 million rand, which we received in November. And of the 271, we were able to deploy about 170 million rand to restart the operations, which was a condition of the guarantee. We are making quite slow progress in selling non-core and exiting loss-making businesses. We've managed to exit some of them, but there are others that we still have. And in terms of the challenges we are having, our clients have asked us to ring-fence the funds into their particular projects. And without restructuring, this does, we haven't been able to efficiently allocate our resources. What we have seen is that there has been an underfunding of projects that we currently own at DANEL that has a strategic national importance. In terms of our financial position, up to the end of March 2020, we posted an annual loss of about 1.9 billion rand. And this is attributable to program management, poor program management, as well as the liquidity challenges. Our equity position has shown to you on the lower graph. It has reduced to, we are at a negative equity position of about 2.3 billion. The graph on the top shows you in blue our drop in revenue. In 2016, our revenue was about 8.5 billion rand. And in 2020, our revenue has come down to about 2.4 billion rand. So there's some of the key ratios that I wish to highlight. From the revenue side, on the top table, on the right, you will see revenue, the point I made, dropped from 8.3 billion in 2016 to 2.4 billion in 2020. The interesting thing is to look at our employee cost. Although we've had a significant drop in revenue by about 71%, our employee cost has more or less remained the same. And you will see that on the graph to the right, and that's shown to you in the mustard color, where you see the employee cost almost remaining flat, whilst we've had the line in the blue, which is our revenue, dropping quite significantly. The sovereign and strategic capabilities that we have been funding off our balance sheet, and that has caused a significant weakness to our financial position, because we have been funding these facilities, and we've had engagements with the Department of Defense to state that over the past year, we've been funding about 683 million rand worth of sovereign and defense, sovereign and strategic capabilities. And of importance to look at our Danel Dynamics division, which is the business that's going through a lot of pain right now. We have funded that to the tune of over 400 million rand. So the financial support we've received from government, we show this to you on this table. What you would see in blue for the 2020 financial year and 2021, we've received about 2.4 billion rand in two tranches. One was 1.8 billion and the other was 576 million rand. And prior to that, we've received funding in order for the contract that we're busy executing on behalf of Airbus. And so this shows you the financial support. And as you can see, Chair, it hasn't been that substantial over the years, except in the year 2020 and 2021. The guarantees are shown to you in gray. And with these guarantees, we were able to then raise debt, which supports our DMTN program. But that does come at a cost. Since 2008, with the level of debt that we are carrying, we've incurred an interest expense of about 3 billion rand over the period since 2008. So looking at the salary position, since 2016, we have been having liquidity challenges. And during that time, we then decided to centralize our salary payments. And here we were using clients' project-specific funds in order to subsidize other loss-making divisions within the Danel Group. In 2019, it was a year after, or less than a year after, the new board was appointed in April 2018. A turnaround strategy was then implemented to look at restructuring and stabilizing Danel. In 2019, we received a recap of 1.8 billion, which was used to settle legacy obligation and to try and implement a limited amount of restructuring. But a lot of that cash was not used to strengthen the balance sheet of Danel. And here we were relying on the disposal of our property portfolio, some of our non-core businesses, and the conclusion of equity partnerships in order to strengthen the financial position of Danel. In March 2020, we were affected by the lockdown. It had a significant impact on our operations. And as a result of that, we've had a significant decline in our productivity. And since May until July 2020, for that period of time, within which Solidarity and WASA, two of our recognized trade unions, took us to court, we were not able to pay full salaries. So we were able to pay employees the cash portion of their salaries on a sliding scale. We paid about 25% of our employees who were the lowest earning employee salaries. We paid them almost 100% of their salaries. And in terms of statutory employee contribution and third-party payments, yeah, there were relief measures that were introduced with the COVID lockdown, and we were able to negotiate with them a deferred payment plan, and arrangements are in place to ensure we do comply with those arrangements. The interesting thing to point out, Chair, is that you will note that during this time, we did not implement any salary sacrifice nor short time to align with the reduced productivity levels. So in August, on the 4th of August 2020, UASA and Solidarity had their application heard by the Labor Court, and the Labor Court then ruled in favor of these two unions, whom I stated represent about 32% of our employees, ordering Denel to pay the members of these unions the cash portion of their salaries and to pay all the deductions. We were required to make the payment within 7 days. As we were unable to honor that obligation, the applicants then took us to court to make an application for Denel and its board of directors to be held in contempt of court. We then appeared in the Labor Court on the 3rd of December, and that was then postponed to the 28th of January, and I will touch on that briefly on the next slide. On the 16th of August, what we then did, Chair, is that we then introduced tighter financial controls where we've devolved authority to our operating divisions in order for them to meet the client's contracted obligations, because we were receiving clients' funds to execute these specific projects. As I stated earlier on, in the past, we were using clients' funds to subsidize non-loss-making businesses or strategic and sovereign capabilities, so we were not acting in the best interests of our clients. And in November 2020, we received the balance of the recap of the 576. We received 271 million, and the key condition around that was for us to use those proceeds in order to restart the operations. So on the 28th of January, we appeared before the Labor Court where this matter was heard, the contempt of court application against Denel and the board, and the judgment has been reserved. So we haven't yet received the judgment. December 2020, PMP, one of our divisions within the Denel Group, was able to meet all our salary payment obligations in terms of the court order on the 4th of August. Our medical aid arrear contributions from April to September, they have been settled, and the final settlement with Discovery will take place by March this year. Our employee risk benefits, that has been in place throughout the period and remains in place. So in terms of our cash priorities, our key focus is to focus on our stewardship responsibility with our clients' funds in order to rebuild trust and reliability with our local and international customers. We are looking at investing our cash towards restarting operations, and here it's to our assets and liabilities that have been prioritized relating to specific programs. We've also been able to negotiate with our suppliers and our creditors in order to restart the operations. Our employee salary payment plan is dependent on the divisional revenue generating capacity. And since the devolvement of authority to the divisions that have had a contracted productive workload, they've been able to meet a bigger share or almost all of their employee salaries. And the board recently approved a section 189, which we are in the process of implementing. So some of the sustainability issues that are putting Denel at risk from an operational point of view, our poor financial performance of our divisions and subsidiaries, poor program execution threatening our trusted and reliable supplier status. Our strength has been in design and development. What we need to drive, Chair, is to industrialize, is to move from manufacturing a limited number of products to manufacturing a larger amount to be a serial manufacturer. And for that, we need to be globally competitive and we need to access reliable markets. The advance payments that we've received on Hoofdfeester, to date, we've received about 2.8 billion rand in total advance payments. And of that, about 2 billion relates to the Hoofdfeester project. Some of that 2 billion rand has been invested in stock and in work in progress. And our inability to meet the contractual performance on the Hoofdfeester program poses a severe risk to Denel. The liquidity constraints and working capital, we have been having discussions with our lenders group, and with the risk profile of Denel and the exposure that they currently have, they are reluctant to increase their risk profile. And as a result of that, they haven't approved our application for bridge funding. We are exposed to going concern risk from our debt providers as well. And our liquidity in the first 12 months has been affected by our outstanding legacy obligations, i.e. our creditors. We have been losing high-tech skills due to our poor operating performance, and this talks to our staff turnover. From a strategic perspective, the delayed implementation of strategic actions, the disposal of non-cores, the exiting of loss-making businesses. We did have an impact during the lockdown on our permitting delays, which has since been resolved. Strategic equity partnerships, we believe, is a cornerstone towards us driving industrialization in our business. And this is to move, to grow from our design and development towards an industrialization. Reputation for us as a trusted, reliable supplier in both the local and global market. And the alignment, the future state of Denel by all our stakeholders, especially the Department of Defense dealing with Hoofdfeester and our sovereign capabilities. And then the alignment with our permitting to export in our different markets. So the risk mitigation strategy, what we are busy doing is that we are having regular engagements with National Treasury, with public enterprises, our shareholder, the Denel board leads some of these engagements. We are also having discussions with a number of other key stakeholders like our customers, our lenders, our suppliers, our employees and organized labor. The alignment of Denel's turnaround and growth plan with key government shareholders, we are expecting this to be resolved through a cabinet process. We have set up a weekly crisis response team that looks at the urgent issues within Denel. We have introduced the transitionary values and we are developing the Denel Next strategy. And the focus of the Denel Next strategy is to address the current crisis and our financial requirements, to secure our existing business, i.e. our business of today, and to develop and implement a future strategy. And this talks to moving beyond defense to meet the new technology requirements of our country. We are busy with structural reforms that are within our control in order to drive efficiencies. And this is part of our corporate planning process, which our board will be engaging on to approve towards the end of the month. And we are also looking at driving operational efficiency throughout the Denel Group. Chair, that concludes my presentation. And I think that's where I will pause. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. With that, then we can come back to you, Chair, and for the honourable members to engage.
Thank you very much, DM and acting CEO. Thank you very much. We Honorable members, we need to engage with the presentation, and I would like to request members to engage. We'll start with Honorable Bibi, and then Honorable Arnold. Honorable Smith, Honorable Clute, Honorable Nana, Honorable Ngwenya, and lastly, Honorable Mudise. In that order, honorable members, I don't know whether I've missed any other honorable members part of our meeting. Like if there is any member I've missed, then you can indicate on the platform.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson. And thank you for the presentation. We welcome UDM and also your team, and also to the members. Greetings to the members. Chairperson, I've got two questions. And the first question will be, with the current challenges facing DINEL, one would like to know to date how many of the DINEL skilled personnel or critical staff have left the company, and how has this exodus, if at all, has impacted DINEL's productive capacity. My second question, Chairperson, will be, Chairperson, there are two of the ways to restructure companies in financial distress. Is the selling of non-core assets, and also by seeking new equity partners. What I would like to know is, to date, has DINEL identified any of its properties as core, as non-core assets earmarked for disposal, or sought any new equity partners? I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Bibi. Honorable Arnold?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to put my video off because due to network.
I can see
fine, like
the network is not good. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. Now, yes, Chairperson. No. I think we need to ask this question to DINEL in terms of how they're going to restore their reputation. Because it's not looking good for DINEL in terms of the overall financial challenges and the legal challenge that they are facing currently. I'm hearing about the crisis response team that they have, and how are they going to restore now these and improve the employee morale in terms of what is transpiring with not paying the employees, not being able to pay them in full. And then also we've also heard that they were losing some high-tech skills in DINEL. So can we just now ask, in terms of the turnaround strategy, how are they ensuring to retain of the core skills and capabilities? Because that is also one of the challenges I think they need to sort out, Chairperson. Then in terms of the internal disciplinary hearings that have been ongoing and then also concluded, we also need the status of those outcomes of those hearings, disciplinary hearings. And then, I think they've given us a few pointers in terms of the debt strategy, but I think we need to get more detailed and more in-depth from them. How are they going to get out of this financial situations? And I know some of it is also due to management challenges and then also other challenges. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Arnold. Honorable Smith. We can pass. If Honorable Smith is still struggling, Honorable Klute.
Chair, thank you. I indicated on the chat. I'm covered for now. Thank you. I'll just listen to the comments. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable.
Thanks, Chairman. Chairman, it's probably time to be honest and blunt. We must be ashamed of ourselves. We must really be ashamed of ourselves and ask a question. How did we get here? Because if we don't ask that question and get answers, rest assured, we will be going in circles. DINEL was one of our best performing SOEs under the umbrella of public enterprises. Not so long ago, Chairman, probably 10, 12 years ago. And we need to ask a question, how did we get here? And I can tell the committee that no lender will give you money if he is not sure of whether they will be able to pay it back or not. Secondly, no lender will give you money if he thinks that you don't have adequate systems, you don't have adequate control and systems in your organization. Let's just forget. That's why CEO, they are asking for upfront payments, because you've got a weak balance sheet, you've got financial problems, you can't pay your debts, you can't pay your staff. And the question that has to be asked, how did we get here? If we had a company, a state-owned company, that 10, 12 years ago was doing exceptionally well. A company that those years never approached treasury for bailouts like SAA and then others. And really, Chair, you know, it pains me. It really pains me. I'm saying this with a heavy heart. We are a scum of the world. No lender will give you money if you don't take action against people who are accused of fraud and corruption. No lender. It's as simple as that. So until we ask that question and give up, ourselves, not in a form of a commission, let's just forget about getting money from from the market. Chair, the CEO has told the committee that there has been slow progress in disposing loss-making entities or divisions within the company. Can he probably share with the committee which are those entities or divisions and why the slow progress in disposing them? Because this can only compound their situation. Why the slow progress? He also spoke about the 2019 turnaround strategy. And I do like to ask this question, Chair. Every strategy, Mr. Sadiq, must have key performance indicators. Every strategy every turnaround strategy has got to have pointers that tell you whether you are in the right direction or you have veered off track. How often do you guys refer to your new turnaround strategy? And insofar as the pointers in your strategy, how much work has been done and how much progress have you made so far? Do you think it will be a successful turnaround strategy? Because you will know as much as I do that SOEs have a habit of changing boards. When the new board comes, it comes with a new turnaround strategy. In no time, that strategy gets shelved, gathers dust in some boardroom, because there's now a new sheriff in town, there's a new board in town, in the company, which is not interested in the after disasters turnaround strategy. So I would really want to check progress in so far as the new strategy is concerned, and what is your, I would want to get your pulse as to whether you're confident it will succeed, because to have a turnaround strategy and not implement it or check progress probably on a quarterly basis, on a month-to-month basis, depending on the intervals you choose, it's basically a futile exercise. So I would really want to pick your brain on that. Chairman, I would also want to ask, during these difficult times, financial difficult times with Dinel, do senior executives at Dinel take a salary knock? Do they still get their bonuses? And does the board of Dinel get paid their board fees as and when the board sits? Now, he mentioned the Wolf Easter project, which is Dinel's land system's biggest project. And in his presentation, he does suggest that there is a risk or there are prospects of poor performance in that project. Now, I would want to ask, Chef, what are the reasons for him to think that there are prospects of poor performance? If he gives us the reason, can he also please give us a plan to mitigate those risks. Remember, this is their biggest project, Dinel Land Systems. This is the Dinel Land Systems' biggest project. And the last question, Chairman. Dinel Board Chairperson, Ms. Montla Shasha, is reported to have told the Portfolio Committee on Public Enterprises that Whoops Aster project posed a biggest threat to Dinel's financial stability. And my question is, how is that possible? If your client has paid you upfront, how is it possible that somebody who brings business to you can pose a biggest threat to your financial stability? Thank you very much, Shelley.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nana. Honorable Ngwenya. Can we pass to Honorable Mudise? Are you ready, Honorable Ngwenya?
Thanks, Chairperson. I'm ready.
Okay.
Thanks, Chair, and good morning, everybody. And Chairperson, I'd like to thank you for the presentation and the document that we've got on time. I've prepared 4 questions in terms of the presentation that have been presented right now. Chair, my question, I want what is the current status of the turnaround strategy, which was initiated by the new board in February 2019, which was aimed at establishing Dinel, and what work and what did not work in terms of the implementation of the proposed strategy. The second question, can they give the current COVID-19 regulations in place? Which division at the Dinel have managed to restart their operation and meet their obligation? And which division are currently experiencing challenges which may be associated with insufficient workload? The third question, Chair, I want to know what is the nature of the Dinel legal representation, given the legal challenges in face. Is the legal team in the employee of Dinel, or is it being outsourced? And does Dinel has enough capital to compensate the legal team, give the current financial situation the entity currently faces? The last question, Chair, I want to know that is it there a latest feedback from Treasury in terms of the governance financial support to the entity, or in terms of a pilot from the state, what is the current status? I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ngwenya. Honorable Mdise.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me greet the Honorable Chairperson and members and DM the department, Chair and Dinel. Chair, you know, when I listen and read the presentation of the Dinel, it shows that from time to time, their financial is declining. I just want to check with, my question is, did they put a good, I know they have a strategy, but did they put a good system in place to make sure that they get out of these challenges that they are facing? Because if you are financial cheat and you are still having shortfall in your strategy, it's going to be a serious challenge. So I want to know about their good strategy to make sure that they get out of this. And then the second question, Chairperson, in all these things that happened to Dineel, I just want to check with them, did they involve law enforcement? And how far are they with the case? It's the second one. So the other question is, to DM, did you vet all the board members that appointed last year? Did you vet them? Thank you, Chair. Those are my questions. I'll come back again.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Let me just add some few remarks before we give to you a DM. All members have been talking about the turnaround strategy. I just want to check, is that strategy appealing to our customers? Have we aligned that strategy with the skills that we have? Is there no need to do restructuring in the skills that is there? In other words, out of the skills audit, if you have performed it, acting CEO and DM, what other skills do we need? What restructuring do we need in terms of the skills in the company? When workers are having challenges with the salaries, I want to put it in another way. Other members have asked it. What sacrifice have senior management and the directors done in order to mitigate? Because it can be workers that are getting the brunt while we don't hear what is happening at senior management level. The acting CEO put that we are losing high-tech skills. I've got a question in that regard to say, is our intellectual property still safe when you are losing such high skills? I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying, but I'm sure DM will be understanding what I'm saying. Is our intellectual property as a country still safe? Because Dineel is engaged in a business that, if not careful managed, it can compromise the security of our country. The last remark I can put DM is to say, what level of support do you receive from other departments in the security cluster? Is there a need for us as the committee to maybe through UDM and DG, to call other departments to check in the security cluster the support they are giving to Dineel? Because we can't expect entities to function when they don't receive support from us as government. Those will be my few remarks and questions for now. DM?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. May I request that, Honorable Chair, we allow first the entity, Sadiq, and whomever will assist him. And I'm going to ask after them the Director General, Khatazo, to take a few. Then I can deal with the remainder of the questions that would not have been dealt with your permission, Chair.
Yeah.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. My apologies, Chair. I hadn't recognized the Chairman of the Board who was on the call, and she is... our chair has is here, so this allow her to start the process of responding, and then we'll add. Thank you, Chair. Ms. Lashla.
Thank you very much, Interim CEO, for a good presentation, and thank you, Deputy Minister, for contextualizing it. And Honorable Chair of the committee, thank you very much for taking an interest to see and understand where Denel is in terms of its financial challenges. I think the best way to contextualize the issue is to look at Denel since 2014-15 and look at what had happened from then to today, so that we can all comprehend why, when we resolve things slowly, there's a tendency for the problems to compound and they become bigger and bigger. And I think Denel is a very good example, and a sad one for that matter, of a situation which over a number of years, either because no one could see the indicators properly, the liquidity challenges of Denel were compounding. Some of the reasons for the compounding of Denel's liquidity problem, which sits with us today, has been the fact that by its nature, Denel depended on one client for many years. And that client being our Department of Defense, which all of us know that over the years, their budgets have been declining, and I think they've declined by 30% even today, which means over time, Denel should have noted that the demand for work coming in from our own defense were diminishing over time. So you will see that their strategy began to be more and more export-led. However, there could have been shortcomings in dealing with that. Secondly, we note that Denel, since 2012 with the Institute of Hoofaster primarily was the biggest program on Denel's books. And when a program that big gets delayed year after year with redesigns, restructuring, and you can name it, to catch up on the costs, to catch up on the funding that you took upfront, becomes a bigger burden unless you had ring-fenced that funding and managed it appropriately. Unfortunately for Denel, when we bought BAE Systems, Land Systems, which is now DVS, I think everybody would remember that. I think we purchased it at about 855 million rand. It became a cost that was bigger than what Denel could afford in hindsight. And what started to happen along that trajectory of declining budgets for defense, a Hoofaster program that starts to drag and leads to some state capture issues with other companies being created, and you have a liability with the banks around the acquisition of a company, which you had expected to make you a lot of money, but instead does not make you money, and you do not get rid of it quickly. You start taking resources away from the core businesses to fund that liability. that happened over a number of years. It does catch up with you. And unfortunately for our board and our shareholder, where we came in, the reality was to understand how a great denial, which gave a platform to most of our technical and specialist engineers of this country, could come to such a situation where we cannot survive without capital injection from the state. What I was trying to summarize is that there has been a combination of elements that have led to the situation where you, honorable parliamentarians, have to inherit a scenario where a joint vision to rebuild this denial, I think, has been made. But all efforts have got to come to bear to realize that while the challenges have been there and not necessarily designed by yourself, we should all believe that we can deal with the back of it, even if it will take us time, to recreate a denial, which will again rebuild, give a platform for our engineers, create exports for our country. But I would be lying to you if I said that the journey is not going to be as painful as you're seeing it today for a little while until we can start to grow our revenues from the industrial base around the world that continues to need to know. And I think I should say that again and again. The fear of the market about denial has been about what will happen if we depend on them to deliver for us and they continue to take money from my project and use it to support their corporate challenges to finance the old debt that they have and so on and so on. What we have done is remove all those loopholes where denial could do such a thing again, where project money can be utilized somewhere else. I can assure this committee and South Africans that some of those weaknesses of the past, which were generated probably out of desperation because of the challenges they were facing, we have stopped those. Secondly, what the CEO explained by division taking charge of their project income, their growth, to ensure that they can support their salaries and so on, has also been a very empowering thing for the divisions, that most of them have been able to start paying more of the salaries to meet the gap that was created after COVID and exacerbated by the fact that denial had divisions that had not been productive for many years. And I don't think we say that enough. Among our challenges, and depending on a big program called Hoof Acer, I think we also relaxed historically because some divisions had stopped using these critical skills that we had to produce anything. There are people probably in denial that have never done anything since they arrived, and it should not surprise any of us. With that background, however, Honorable Chair, I think we can still, unfortunately the pain may be tough, but I believe there's few little steps that we are taking, even around SEPs. Somebody asked about strategic equity partners and to look at why we have not made as great a progress as we should have. I think some of the challenges have really just been, when you're dealing with a company such as Denel, where between the DPE and the Department of Defense, both of them have got to look at what kind of assets we think we need strategic equity partners in. On one level for the Defense Department, and rightfully so, they would say please be careful in thinking about what you define as core and non-core. Where am I leading to? I'm leading to the fact that they need to align on the core principles to govern the SEPs has probably caused more of a delay in our program. But the delay has allowed, I think, an engagement between these two strategic partners so that in the end, we can have a joint and aligned view of which assets DNEL can be allowed to do SEPs on, whether it's going to be on a 49% level or whether it's going to be on a 51% level to try and turn this around. I just thought I should lay this broad background and to allow the management to answer the details that you require. And if at any point there is a need for me to come back again, my deputy minister would then give me the signal and I'm here, Chair, to assist to the best of my abilities. Thank you very much for the opportunity again.
Thank you, Chair. So in to respond...
Just one, because there was an issue about board fees, and I'm sure you're going to try and answer that. There is no part of DNEL that has not experienced austerity, and the highest knocks have been at the most senior levels. And it's never a very comforting thing for a chair to look at the executives and to look at the staff and to say that they have accepted to take the big knocks that they have experienced. The board too, they are only receiving a limited flat rate, and the normal rate for board fees is not available anymore for DNEL. And they've gone through months without any fees as well. And unfortunately, that has been part of trying to turn around the business of this nature, given where we found it. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. So to continue, one of the points was raised about our staff turnover, what has been the loss. So in total for the year to date, from 1 April to now, our staff turnover has been around 16% in total. And of concern is that in our Dynamics, our missile and UAV business, our staff turnover there was around 34%, which was way above the norm. In our sort of industry, between 5 and 10% is more, that's one would say is more reasonable. So this is a lot higher. And it does have an impact on our operations. Our year-to-date revenue is a lot lower, and the ability to rehire is constrained because we are not an attractive employer right now where we're not able to meet salaries. So that is a challenge we do have. In terms of the turnaround strategy that the board had implemented in 2009, there were 10 items, and included in there was the business value of our core business areas, strategic partnerships, our non-core business areas to exit them, to improve governance, to drive cost reduction, to optimize our property portfolio, to secure funding, to ensure skills and capability management, order intake, and restore our brand and employee morale. Looking back right now, you would see we haven't been able to achieve a lot of those goals that we've set for ourselves. We have made some progress in terms of exiting non-core businesses where we're in the final stages of exiting DNEL Aerostructures and also LMT, which was a business that was placed under business rescue. There are other activities within our control which we can exit. We are doing that. Our order intake is quite low, also our pipeline, and this is due to our current challenges. Our property portfolio, a number of our properties are classified as national key point. So we are engaging with the Department of Defense. One of the options we are looking at is to sell off some of our land to the Department of Defense, but they are under budgetary constraints as well. We are looking at relocating some of our businesses so that we will have properties that's not classified as a national key point to enable us to sell it. But the current economic climate is a challenge for us. We have made limited progress in improving governance. However, it's for the third year running that we've now seen we've received a disclaimer audit opinion by Auditor General. And strategic partnerships, we haven't been able to deliver on that, as our chair did point out. So couple of other points, our employee morale. You know, one of the reasons why we have employees leaving us, other than not paying them salaries, because that is a straw that breaks the camel's back, but we also haven't been able to offer them career paths. With the declining defense budget, as stated earlier on, I provided a brief overview of the denial capabilities. All of those capabilities were funded by the Department of Defense through their research and development budget. And that budget has decreased quite significantly, so we are not really involved in a number of R&D type projects. Our debt strategy, our debt, the DMTN note program, that is government guaranteed debt, which our group CFO will talk to, and it is JSE listed. How did we get here? Clearly, poor program management has been an issue for us. The declining Department of Defense budget, state capture has been an issue, and also poor acquisitions or corporate actions or inefficient capital allocation. Around fraud and corruption, we are engaging with the SIU, the Commission on State Capture, led by Deputy Justice Zondo and Hawks and the police. I did talk a bit about the loss-making businesses. Around Project Hoofaster, our chair has stated that the loss of Hoofaster will have a significant impact on Denel. The reason being is that we've received over 2 billion rand in advance payment. So if we lose Hoofaster, then those monies will then become payable. We've also invested in inventory close to 1 billion rand worth of stock. And this talks to poor working capital management, but we have that stock and that would then need to be written off. And the impact on the South African defense industry, Project Hoofaster has been really good for us because on the back of Project Hoofaster, we were able to secure the largest export order for Denel in Malaysia, which I'm pleased to say is going quite well. We are very pleased with the progress we are making with regard to that. On our legal teams, we do have an in-house legal team, and also we have a group of legal firms that are on our panel that we've selected based on criteria, and we do utilize them in a fairly transparent process. Around KPIs for our strategy, with regard to the Denel Next, but even prior to going there, with the devolvement of authority to our divisions, we've now set up divisional exco meetings that meet on a monthly basis where we track the performance of these companies. We look at their revenue, we look at their business development order pipeline. We are busy finalizing our performance management contracts to start in the new year. We've just, during the year, we've put in place our performance management contracts for our employees. We haven't had them in place to the extent we would have liked them, but that's now in place and it would improve further on. So there are KPIs that we track. We are in our corporate planning process and then we will be reviewing our performance. Around the Denel Next strategy, as I stated, we've now put together 8 work streams. Each of those work streams are led by members of the executive committee of Denel, and the 8 very briefly relates to brand and stakeholder management, leadership accountability and execution, effective alliance and partners, customers, markets and revenue diversification, looking at our differentiating products and to provide solutions to our clients, looking at quality and operational excellence, high performance talent management, and then lastly and importantly, our financial sustainability. So we have got each of our executives leading each one of these, and we are in the process of establishing a work plan, the project approach, and also the KPIs on which we will, no doubt our board will measure our performance. As our chair pointed out, everyone in the organization has been impacted by the salary reductions. And, you know, unfortunately at this stage, with us not paying the salaries, they still are due and payable. And that's something we are busy in negotiating with organized labor and our employees to see whether we could then implement it as a salary sacrifice. So to the extent possible, we will not need to catch up the amount. The reason why the Solidarity and UASA took us to court is because we're unable to pay their full salaries. And in light of the lower productivity levels, that had an impact. Chair, I want to pause there. I will allow our CFO to come on, Carmen LaGrange, and then I will come back at the end as I go through the list of questions. Carmen?
Thank you, Talib, and thank you to the honorable members for the opportunity to present. I think it's important to state before I answer some of the questions raised by some of the members, it's to deal with the question around our weak balance sheet. And in the presentation that we had prepared for you, we had on page 10 of that presentation showed you the level of government financial support that Danel had received to date. So we did a 15-year view of that. And we show you that apart from funding that was received early in 2007, which was a 1.8 billion and a 700 million for the Rooivalk, the only other time we received good recap was in 2013, where we received about 700 million for the restructure of aerostructures in terms of the Airbus, the A400M program. And then we received again good recap in the 2020 year, being in July 2019. We received the money on the 31st of August, 1.8 million, and then the 576 million, which falls into this financial year, 2021. And with that recap, that totaled the 2.376 billion. So over a 15-year period, one of the honorable members, Schlanchler, rightly says that Danel hasn't been one of those entities that has constantly gone to Treasury looking for money. And the points I wanted to highlight around that, it is very difficult for the banks to lend Danel money. And in fact, how Danel has funded its programs has been through guarantees that we get from the banks. And so the point that I wanted to make was around the fact that Danel has a very weak balance sheet. We've funded our operations and we funded the business with debt instead of equity. And as a consequence of funding it with debt instead of equity, there's a number of things that we need to pay. One of those things being interest. So if you look on page 8 of our slides, you'll notice that we did a 5-year analysis in trying to also understand what had happened to Danel over the years. And for the 5 years from 2015, 16 to 19, 20, we've paid 1.7 billion rand in interest to the banks. That 1.7 billion, and then the projection is 241 million for 2021, which gives me 1.9 billion over 6 years. That money could have been used to give back into the state coffers, but instead we have to give that money to our lenders group in RMB, APSA and Nedbank. And that money is, as well excludes costs that one pays for keeping the listing on the debt market, which you must pay sponsor fees, project fees, legal fees, et cetera, to maintain the listing. So I thought it is important to highlight that. Then in terms of this weak balance sheet that we have, some of the mitigating actions we've reported on previously is we've gone to the banks, we've tried to ring fence those programs that we believe will be cash generative for Danel, because we believe that they have long-term economic multiplier effects. And we've gone and we've looked internationally and said, which are those programs that can be saved, as well as locally, which are those programs that can be saved. And I think to answer the Honourable Arnold's question is to say, how do you dig yourself out of this hole? And the answer must be to say that if one looks at our aerospace and defense master plan, one of the most practical ways is to look at those programs and see how we can get the rest of our industry to support us in delivering on those programs, because they are signed purchase order and we need to deliver on those programs. So, you know, invoking public-private partnership solutions, negotiating with suppliers, where in the past we've just accepted fixed cost CVOs and not negotiated in terms of concomitant costs with design changes. Those are some of the things that I think practically we need to do as a company to emerge as a reformed Danel. Also negotiating holiday for penalties from Arms Corps, which is within our cluster, that would certainly go a long way towards helping Danel become more cash generative. And then thirdly, and this is something that we don't see on Danel's balance sheet, is the IP. And we know that the value of Danel rests in its IP, and hence the need to look for strategic equity partnerships. And so we've never ever put a value of that IP onto the Danel balance sheet, but there's certainly value that sits there. And certainly one of the things we must look at is how do we begin to exploit and further develop and enhance that IP in a sustainable way that will add value to both the company and to the country as a whole. I want to just address, you know, just in closing the non-core assets that Talib has referred to. In April 2018, when our board took over, Danel, we have that strategy in place. The strategy hasn't changed. They still reduce the cost structure, the bloated cost structure. We still have find SEPs to help us bring value back to Danel. And there is the issue around the threat of UFAISTA and how do we negotiate that so we get to a point where we are able to deliver it at least in a break-even or even in a profitable way and contribute towards the industry. And then thirdly, to strengthen this balance sheet. And so just in terms of my concluding remarks on strengthening the balance sheet, I think that the amount of interest and the debt burden that Danel continues to experience is truly unsustainable. We really need our partners and our stakeholders to give us some kind of relief in terms of the structure of that debt, like I spoke about earlier on. And I think that the board has been assessing the implementation of the strategy. However, some of those implementation items require, you know, support in terms of financing, for example, voluntary service packages to reduce the cost structure, as well as ensuring that we're able to use cash that we do have more productively, but not paying so much interest. And those are some of the things, I think, to answer the interim CEO's question, are some of the things that will help Danel in terms of emerging in a new form with a business model that will work for it going forward. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. Standing points that I would like to close before I hand over to our Chair, Ms. Slashla. The IP security issue, I think that is a key concern for us, especially the exploitation of these IPs. There has been some hotline reports which we have investigated. When we do investigate them, we investigate them, together with the department, with the defense intelligence and also with Arms Corps intelligence. Many of our employees that are leaving us, these are highly expert individuals, very knowledgeable. So they have the information in their heads, and that's why they are marketable. And many of them are leaving South Africa, regrettably. So they're not just leaving Danel, they're leaving our country. So here we are in discussions also with the National Proliferation Committee as well. Around how do we go forward? You know, we did make the point about some of the matters that the board is looking at. The need for a recapitalization is quite key for stability and to strengthen our balance sheet. We need to look at our disposals, and we need to drive industrialization and to be globally competitive, to look at how we can become more efficient. There are some options that we are looking at, and hopefully we would make progress on that. The alignment of our key stakeholders towards the success of Denel, quite key for our sustainability and growth, not just for Denel and the defense industry, but for the broader South Africa, and also to meet the career, the aspirations of our president, where we would like to grow our economy by over 3% per annum. And for that, we need these technical skills, and we need Denel to successfully execute on its Denel Next strategy. Thank you, Chair. I'll now hand over to Ms. Slashla to make some closing comments.
I think we've responded to the extent possible, and we'll comment on any other issues that might arise thereafter, Rema Tibe. Maybe just one concluding remark from me would be that sometimes we've got to pool all of our energies to fight for the best for our future. And Denel is one of those that every effort we can all pull together in alignment will give our future engineers, our kids, the opportunity to go and deliver on their dreams right here in South Africa, right here in the defense industry. I do believe it is worth a fight. It may be painful in the beginning, but it's worth it. I think we should keep trying. In the end, a Denel that is commercial allows us to dream a little bit more and to give value for our people and our country. Thank you.
Deputy
Minister.
Chair, I think a mouthful has been said. Maybe we should revert back to the committee, Chair. I note there was a question asked in respect of vetting of board members. I would just like to say, as a matter of rule, we endeavor all the time to appoint into our boards people of good standing, of repute, high repute, and to the extent the necessary checks get to be done. And as far as I can recall, we have people whose integrity is beyond question in this board in question. And I may also just add that it's indeed true that, as the minister would say, everybody has to take a haircut. The board has been taking cuts. It's not business as usual. So is management at the high level, given the challenges that the institution is facing. I'll hold there for now, Chair, and take guidance from yourself. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DM. Can I check with members if we have got members who have got follow-up questions? Honorable Nana.
Well, thanks, Chair, and I'm sorry for not switching on my video. My bandwidth is quite unstable. Chair, firstly, to the CFO, I am not inclined, but I'm Nana. It's N-H-A-N-H-A. Secondly, Chair, I would want to suggest that at the time you deem fit, we should invite Denel back to the committee and get a thorough briefing, Chair, about the turnaround strategy. I do think today we glanced over it, and to me it's actually a very important document because it talks to the life of this company. So I would want to make that proposal, and it's as you know, it's really your call, Chairman, whether that will happen or not. The one issue that really bothers me in the question I asked about reasons to think that there are prospects of poor performance, and I know the chairperson of the board tried to respond to it, so is Mr. Sadiq. But I did not really get a plan. Now that they have identified prospects of risk, what is the plan? Is there a plan to mitigate that risk in an event their suspicions are becoming a reality? No problem, therefore, your apology accepted. I don't really get a concrete answer in that regard, because Chairman, a plan has been sniffed out that there's a possible risk. Now we need, as the committee, we need a comfort to know that the board and the senior executives at DINEL are doing everything they can to mitigate the risk and prospect. And what is the plan? Is there a plan? Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nana. I think the was mistaking your surname with the board chair, Kasha. Because they are almost.
Yeah, it's possible. It is possible. Okay.
They almost look like it's just the H and the L difference.
Honorable, and I thought I discovered a new Kasha today.
Yeah, Chairperson, the status report in terms of the disciplinary hearings, I think they can also put it maybe for us in writing. A report in that regard. Thanks.
All right. Do we have any other follow-up? I think we don't seem to have for now. And also, Board Chair, the issue around litigation, I couldn't hear response. I think we can also put that in writing. And the proposal by Honorable Nana is well received. I think we might need a lot of time to come and dissect your turnaround strategy together with us, because it is in the interest of the committee, as well as in your interest, that we all assist each other to rescue the DINEL, and also in the interest of our country. We think we might need a lot of time to come and dissect that together with your strategy and how you think you can re-engineer, reskill the skills that you have there at DINEL to speak to your strategy. As well. I think we'll look into that, and those that we have not responded to, we'll look into the question. You will liaise with our secretariat just to check which are the areas where the questions were not fully responded to, and put them in writing and bring them back to our committee. But in terms of you coming back, it's obvious we're going to need you back to come and dissect on the strategy, so that as a committee, we have first-hand information of what is going to be done and how we think we can look and do oversight on your strategy, board chair, together with the DM. We can allow you to have some few remarks before we give back to the DM to have final remarks, and then we can release you.
Thank you very much, Ramatibe. We welcome an invitation to take the committee through our turnaround strategy. I also thought it's very important for me to say that the most immediate critical response for all of us is how to stop the bleeding in terms of the liquidity challenges for Dinel. So all of our dreams about a future Dinel, about retraining and reattracting back of the technical skills that we might have lost, will only happen on the basis of just a stable financial situation on Dinel. So even when we come back and we present the strategy, you will see that the core issue for the current board is how to break the back of the bleeding due to lack of cash, so that all of our dreams can have something that will back the future properly. We welcome the invitation, and through the DPE, we will work very closely, guided by the Deputy Minister, to come and engage with you and receive your input. Thank you very much.
DM?
No, thank you, Chair, and thanks to the honourable members again. Thanks to the Chair of the Board and the team. Surely it will do the committee and all of us good if we are on the same wavelength in respect of where the entity is going or should be going. From the point of view of the department, we are firmly of the view that it's urgent that the plan speaks to the challenges that present themselves to date, and that nothing short of some form of recapitalization is necessary to give life to that vision going forward. We have tended to, for a very long time, to remain in a paradigm where we were providing for in-house needs, so to speak, predominantly being of service to the South African Defence Force and being seen as part of looking after the sovereign capabilities. But a company has got to exist beyond such confines. It's got to be competitive in terms of the market. We've got to look at the continent. We've got to look beyond the continent in terms of future markets, in terms of the capabilities that have been developed over time in the company. So we are almost of the same mind with the board insofar as that we just need to ensure that it is then supported by the capacity at the strategic leadership level to take us in that direction. But Chair, thank you very much. We're happy to come back together with Dinel to share deeper insofar as that turnaround plan. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. You are released, DM and DG, and as well as the Dinel will remain here as the committee to finalize our own logistics.
Fair level, ha. Goodbye. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. Day. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks, Chi.
Secretary.
Thanks, Chi. Chi, we've got 3 sets of minutes to be adopted. The first one is, I think, the 25th of November. If I can just ask Baba to please flight those minutes.
You have sent us those minutes. No?
Yes, we have. We have, Chi.
No, we can't waste time by flighting. Honorable members received those minutes. I saw them. I'll just check. Let's start with the one on the 25th of November to check if there are any corrections. Honorable members. If none, we are presenting the minutes of the 25th of November to the committee to engage.
Chairperson.
Honorable Bibi.
Can I move for the adoption of those minutes? Thank you.
Honorable Bibi moves for the adoption of the minutes. Any seconder?
Honorable
Ngwenya seconds.
Are you in that meeting? That was the 28th November.
The secretary, can you check? Mom Winnie was there. I think there was one meeting where she wasn't.
Yeah, but if she was not, she was in. Seconded.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. The second set of minutes.
Thanks, ma'am.
The
second set of minutes is the minutes for the 3rd of February, Chairperson.
The minutes of the 3rd of February we present to the committee members. You are muted, Honorable Mdisi. Can you unmute yourself?
Oh, okay. Chairperson, I've checked the minutes. Even when I was not well, but it was a true reflection of what we have discussed in the meeting. I move for adoption.
Honorable Mdisa moves for the adoption. Any secondment?
Second, Chairperson.
It's seconded. The last set of minutes.
Yes, Chief. The last set of minutes is for the 10th of February.
The last set of minutes is the minutes on the 10th of February. We present those minutes, honorable members.
Chairperson, I move for the adoption of those minutes.
Honorable Bibi moves.
I second, Ma'am Bibi.
And is seconded. Thank you very much, honorable members. Acting Secretary, do we have any other thing for now?
No, Chief. It's just the adoption of the minutes.
Okay. Thank you very much, honorable members. And we can prepare ourselves for the afternoon session of the reply.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Nana. I was looking for you before we start the meeting. I couldn't get you. I said I want to visit that municipality you speak about a lot.
Okay, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And I want from 1.6 to 2 million.
Yeah?
From 1.6 to 2 million.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.